You're listening to the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast, a series of conversations with Chinese and international experts on China's foreign policy, international role, and China's relations with the world, brought to you from the Carnegie Tsinghua Center for Global Policy, located in Beijing. I'm Paul Hanley, the director of the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, and I'll be your host today. I'm here at Beijing University, and I'm thrilled to be joined by leading Chinese security expert, Dr. Zhu Feng. Zhu Feng is a professor in the School of International Studies and deputy director of the Center for International and Strategic Studies at Peking University. Zhu Feng is also a senior research fellow at the Center for Peace and Development of China. His recent publications include International Relations Theory and East Asian Security, Beijing People's University Press 2007, and China's Ascent, Power, Security, and Future of International Politics, co-edited with Professor Robert Ross, Cornell University, 2008. Dr. Zhu Feng, thank you for joining us today. Our topic today is North Korea and how recent North Korean developments might impact China's relations with its neighbor. On December 13th, 4 days after he was arrested and removed from all positions, Kim Jong-un's uncle and regent, Jang Song-taek, was executed for plotting a military coup. Jang Song-taek was described in state media reports as an anti-party, counter-revolutionary factional element, and despicable political careerist and trickster, a despicable human scum worse than a dog. He was accused of trying to steal power from Kim Jong-un. Jang Song-taek played a key role in consolidating Kim Jong-un's power following the death of Kim Jong-il, his father, and his execution came as a surprise to many North Korea watchers. Zhu Feng, why was Jang Song-taek purged? And what might it mean for North Korea? Is this a sign of Kim Jong-un's strength or of his weakness or vulnerability?
Okay, first of all, thanks, Paul. For your question, my personal thought is this. Jang's purge is completely a consequence of intensified power struggle and a power competition between the military faction and the non-military faction. Jang is regarded as the number two figure, and he's heading some sort of a civilian sector around young leader Kim Jong-un. Then why he just purged in that way, so brutal, so reckless? I think that must be some sort of uncompromisable, some sort of a power consultation between such a two groups. And military honor may feel the Jang is a big obstacle they need to remove. But just given his family connection and some sort of overarching influence in the North Korea's power system, I think a purge would never been some sort of a clearly from killing him and burning him very quickly, then I think that sort of very relentless and reckless purge is also show some sort of growing anxiety of the military hardline. My view is that they think unless just let the Jang Song-taek completely finish, then they will not end up some sort of their victory power such a racing. So then I think that's the main motive. But the problem is what kind of a role the young leader play. Everybody knows without his consent, I don't think such a purge also will be achieved. But I think now so far we also needed to have further information to clarify, for example. It's the purge is definitely by the Kim Jong-un's personal inspection, or he also will be some sort of a manipulator by his military hardliner colleagues. So we still have to wait and see. But anyway, I don't think the Kim Jong-un really know what he did wisely or smartly, because after the Song-taek purge, we also see it's a very, it seemed to me, a severe break from his family legacy, because I think since the early 60s, there's quite little killing to some sort of family members and very close colleagues, even by his grandfather. And his father also, I haven't seen any single case, also would like to kill the family members. So that purge will be a big break from family legacy, and also will cause, let's say, a rippling effect in the system. So then I think it's really, really, you know, the big mistake he was made.
You know, the execution and Zhang's removal struck me as well as different for a number of reasons, which you've alluded to some. I believe it was the first time the regime has admitted to killing one of the members of the ruling family, which seems to undermine the unity at the top. And it is also not common for the regime to publicly announce the execution of a top government official. As you know, Chan Song-taek was arrested in front of an extended meeting of the Korean Workers' Party Politburo, and was later publicized on TV. Why do you think it was so different this time? And does this bold display of brutality give leaders in Beijing confidence in Kim's consolidation of power, or does it make leaders in China more concerned about the young and inexperienced leader and his ability to be trusted?
Yeah, I think the way of the Chan's purge and resignation, of course, was a very big humiliation for the Uncle Chan. So then, I think why such a why very very rarely just identified from even the DPRK's history could just have some restates again. I think the main reason is, Kim Jong-un and his military hardliners would like to take down Uncle Chan in a way irreversible. And we say Chan, after his purge, then he will totally disappear. Then I think this kind of very, we say, brutal purge is also a bigger signal. It's not for Chan only. And he's cronies, his followers, and even his family members also will suffer some sort of, we say, such a purge. So then this way of the purge, unbelievably, we say, bloody and brutal. I think it's just telling us it's a Chan Song-taek's line. It's not the Chan Song-taek individual also will be looted out. So I think that's some sort of a message I can read from this kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. Chan Song-taek had a reputation here in China as a trusted interlocutor who favored Chinese-style economic reform and an expanded China-North Korea trade relationship. But it seems that China may have been attacked indirectly several times in the allegations against Chan Song-taek. He was accused of selling off precious resources of the country at cheap prices. He was accused of selling off the land of the Raison Economic and Trade Zone to a foreign country, likely China in this case. Do you think this purge was in any way directed towards China? What effects will it have on China's relations with North Korea? And how important was Chan Song-taek to North Korea's relationship with China?
No, I don't think the purge is definitely has something to do with China. But indefinitely and even very implicitly, of course, the Chan Song-taek's purge has already had a something with, say, with China, for example. So if we read some sort of criminal charge against the Chan Song-taek, a lot of some sort of items being announced as some criminal Latang Uncle Chan's committed was his economic and commercial relations with China. For example, he cheaply selling out the mining goods, and he just keep the very valuable, you know, the land sources on the easy, you know, lease for the Chinese. So we also see the association of the Chan's purchase China factory is very clear there. But the problem is, it's still too early to say what kind of impact will will genuinely cause for China-DPRK relations. For example, the young leader would like to reverse the policy of the economic, you know, the experiment, for example, announcing some sort of a number of the special enterprises, zones, or it would like to close the country once again. I think that it's still too early to say what sort of a real impact will be caused for DPRK-China relations. But I see the association is very clear.
So some are predicting that North Korea, Kim Jong-un, will commit further provocations early in 2014, possibly a fourth nuclear test, to further prove his consolidation of power. In the context of working in the six-party talks and China-U.S. cooperation on North Korea, will this be a beneficial? Will this be an opportunity for the U.S. and China to work closer together, or will this drive the U.S. and China apart? How will China respond to a further provocation given the current situation in North Korea?
I think it's a good question. First of all, whether or not the Pyongyang will provoke once again, trying one more nuclear test, or you know, provoking the South, and by creating some sort of new Tongnan incidents, like some sort of such attack. Personally, I think it's quite less likely because. We see the purge of Uncle Chong is a big event. I don't think the anti-power system personnel is very quickly immune to some sort of adverse, you know, implications from such a purge. So what I can see for sure for the time being is the young leader has to just grapple with some sort of a putting down, very, you know, thrilling impact to its power system. Then he will be bigger ways, for example, select the new placement and help just to stabilize some sort of policy circle and a policy course, by, just, you know, actually some sort of a new instruction. So I think there's such a domestic propaganda, agenda that unbelievably full. After Changchun Tech, you know, was purged. So I don't think the young leader will be distracted from just provoking very recklessly for its relations with the international community. On the other hand, I think if the young leader would like to provoke once again, they would completely alienate the region. And it keeps China not just angry, but also very irritated. So then I think that will be some sort of political suicide or very similar for the DPRK-China relations. So then my judge is this, the young leader may know how unhappy China has been. And if he is a little bit sane, I don't think under the current circumstances, he also would like to just keep China away. So then such a new nuclear test or missile test also, well, being some sort of one of the options he may think through, but I don't think that would be very likely. So then given this, whatever North Korea will be doing, after Trump's purge, I really, really hope the China-U.S. should just sitting together and discussing some sort of a joint, you know, response. If the North Korea will collapse, if North Korea will be entrapping, it's a domestic, you know, like instability. But whatever the purge will implicate the young leader's regime of the DPRK, the purge will definitely indicate it to growing instability. So there's a lot of uncertainties will be easily put into the perspective. So then it's the high time for Beijing and Washington recognize how big mistake has been over the DPR case, so which needed to intensify our cooperation and collaboration.
Thank you. My last question, I just want to step back a little bit and look at it more broadly. As you know, North Korea emerged as a key area for U.S.-China cooperation under this new type of major country relations framework that Xi Jinping proposed at the Sunnyland Summit with President Barack Obama in June 2013. I anticipate that these two leaders will meet again in a similar type of blue sky format where they can talk very broadly about their views of the world. And I imagine North Korea will come up again. How would you suggest that the two leaders talk about North Korea? What are the greatest inhibitors to greater cooperation between the U.S. and China? And if you look at this challenge from a long-term perspective, where do you think it could go given greater U.S.-China cooperation?
Yeah, I think if we look at the East Asian security, I think the pressure point is not North DPRK only. We also see escalating tension between China and Japan over territorial disputes. Then we will see some sort of vulnerability ways regard to the operational stability between Chinese Navy and American states. So then we see the complexity between the power relations of the U.S.-China relations. So it's a big, you know, labor band push that's ahead. Now is deepening. So then I'm really looking forward to upcoming summit between President Obama and Xi, well, very closely and honestly, is to share the sauce and boosting their both understanding. And of course, we'll bring about some sort of, let's say, operable cooperation roadmap. And then the both sides, not just a good thing, COVID, but also good, just to have, say, drive up some sort of, let's say, a very good, successful story of their cooperation in the settlements of the regional such a flash points. So then whatever the next summit meeting will be about, I really hope the DPRK issues will sitting at the center, because Washington and Beijing have a lot of a commonality, not just to keep the things manageable, but also they should be very, very tied up to the, you know, target of the denuclearization. So DPRK issue, I really hope it becomes some sort of new push for the both leaders to build up their trust and very, very explicitly and genuinely disclose their real will to collaborate. If we think about, for example, what kind of the inhibitor to from their cooperation, we can easily figure out a couple of contending concerns. For example, so to what extent Beijing will raise the stick high and get in North Korea some sort of incorporation or insubordination as well. And another question also coming over about how the both sides could narrow their views on the end game of the North Korea. If some sort of domestic opponents come along. But anyway, I think we need some sort of a strategic understanding. We need honesty in personally, in just elaborating on the contentious, you know, the concerns in a way very honest and very, very candid. So if the both leaders could just move that way, I will see North Korea will be a very interesting driver for you know, security cooperation. And such a cooperation also will help build the trust and get the bilateral relations truly better, getting better in the solution of the other, you know, concerns. So conclusively, I would like to see the DPRK issue will help break a new ground for new type of power between Beijing and Washington.
Zhu Feng, thank you very much for spending time with us today. It's always a pleasure. That's it for this edition of the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast. If you'd like to learn more about China's relations with North Korea, you can find analysis on the subject by me and other Carnegie Tsinghua scholars at the Carnegie Tsinghua website, www.carnegietsinghua.org. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time.